Giving ourselves to Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark 10, verses 28 through 31. Mark 10, 28 to 31. Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." We see 5 things here. Leaving everything and following Jesus, leaving possessions and people, receiving 100 times as much as we have given up, going through persecutions, and receiving eternal life. Jesus left everything and came to save us. The first thing we do is leaving everything, we follow Jesus. Jesus left his heavenly home and his heavenly Father. We're to leave possessions and people. Jesus received the fellowship of billions of people and lives in billions of homes. We receive 100 times as much as what we've given up. Jesus faced persecution in life and in death. We go through persecutions. Jesus will never ever die again. We receive eternal life. John Piper said that the best explanation of this passage is to see it as it relates to missionaries. I wonder, are missionaries normal? Are they normal Christians or are they supernatural Christians? But as I thought about it, I thought every Christian should be a supernatural Christian. What is normal in the life of a Christian? We all should be supernatural. Hudson Taylor, at the end of his 50 years of missionary labor in China, said, "I never made a sacrifice. He's one of my heroes of the faith." Learn to live by faith and never lacked anything. One of my favorite stories is about George Mueller, and he's another one of my heroes who had the orphanages in England. During the time of the Boxer Rebellion, the missionary funds tapered off from England to Hudson Taylor. At the same time, Mueller increased his giving to meet the same need. Didn't know what the need was, because Hudson Taylor never published it, but made up the difference to the exact amount. Peter started this with, in verse 28, he said, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Today's English, it probably would be, "What about me?" That's the question a lot of people ask. Maybe all of the disciples were thinking this, but of course Peter was the first one to say it. Maybe all of us think about this at one time or another. What about me? Jesus calls us first and foremost to follow him. He wants us to be like he is and like he was. So leaving everything and following Jesus is so important. What have I left to follow Jesus? I left my pride. I humbly came to him, confessing that I was a sinner in need of his salvation. I left my good works, all of the good things that I've thought I've done through the years. Paul would say he considered them filthy rags. Those kind of rags that are so dirty that you just can't clean them anymore. You know, we have a descending pattern of rags in our household. They start off as the things that you wipe the dishes with, the cloths that you wipe your dishes with, and then they go to the ones that you clean the counters with, and then they go down to the basement to clean other things, and then they get to the point where you just have to throw them away. But Paul said, all the wonderful things that I have ever accomplished in my life, I consider them filthy rags. And then we trust in Christ alone for our salvation. People can do a lot of good things, but we can't do enough to earn heaven. I love the hymn, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Salvation is all of Jesus. Money can buy a lot of things, we learn, but there are some things it cannot buy. Alan Carr, pastor, wrote this. He said, money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy books, but not brains. Money can buy food, but not an appetite. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy medicine, but not health. Money can buy amusement, but not happiness. Money can buy finery, but not beauty. And money can buy a crucifix, but not a savior. Leaving possessions and people is the second thing we see here. Jesus left heaven. He left the riches of his kingdom in heaven to become poor for us. As a practical matter of giving everything, there's a danger involved. If we took this 2 weeks ago when we talked about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, if we took that literally for every Christian, there is a danger involved in that type of giving. The danger is becoming a burden. In the church in Jerusalem, they held things in common, and if anyone had a need, it was meant. Acts chapter 2, 44 and 45 says, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with all as anyone might have need. The church of Jerusalem, they were taking their meals together and going from house to house in chapter 2, verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Chapter 4, verse 32, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. It's fun to go away, isn't it? It's fun to go on vacation. When I was younger, our family vacationed up at Word of Life. And in the early years, we had tents. I can remember thunderstorms coming across or down Scroon Lake and, you know, thinking we're going to die. No. We would camp at Eagle Point and we'd go to the conference at Word of Life. Later, I went to the camp. Later than that, I've gone to the inn for different retreats. And we took the kids up to snow camp and different camping events at Word of Life. And it's true, you really enjoy it, and you kind of like to stay there for another week, and maybe another week after that, and if you had the finances, another week after. Well, that's what was happening in Jerusalem at Pentecost. During the feast days, millions of people would come and swell the population of Jerusalem. And then something strange happened at that Pentecost right after Christ's death. The gospel went out. People were able to hear the gospel in their own language, through the gift of tongues. And many, 5,000 that first day came to know Jesus, 3,000 another day. There were some estimates that 500,000 people came to know Jesus in the early days of the church. And there was a need, because they wanted to stay. But somebody had to pay. And so people like Barnabas would sell everything he had and give it to the church to meet the needs of those people who stayed in Jerusalem. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira sold a field and said they were going to give everything to the church. and they kept back a part for themselves, which wasn't the problem, but the problem was that they said they were giving everything, the total price. So Peter said to them in verse 4, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And they both, Ananias and his wife, died because of that deceit. So a lot of people look at what happened in the early church and said, this is what the church should do. We should have kind of like a communist type philosophy where we just share everything that we have with everybody else in the congregation. You know, in the political climate of the day, I've seen some posts that quote from Acts chapter 2 that says, you know, we should sell everything we have and just have everything in common. But the problem with that was that Jesus' commission was not to stay in Jerusalem. It was to go out into the whole world and preach the gospel. To take the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. So following chapter 2, we have chapter 8. Chapter 7, Stephen was martyred. Chapter 8, we read, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. Saul was the one who became Paul, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 9. He was involved in the missionary movement of the church, and this was the beginning of it in Acts chapter 8, where everybody was sent out because of the great persecution. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles who stayed in Jerusalem. So instead of going, the Christians were staying. And Jesus said, go to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So what happened was the persecution. And God used the persecution to fulfill the Great Commission, because as they went, they shared their faith with the people where they went. The problem, though, was back in Jerusalem. The people had sold everything they had to support the early church. And then famine came, and they had nothing. So Paul, writing to the people in Corinth, would say, it's superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely, that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred them up even more. But I have sent the brethren in order that our boasting about you may not be made empty in this case, so that, as I was saying, you may be prepared. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to speak of you, will be put to shame by this confidence. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift, and not affected by covetousness. So that's chapter 9. Chapter 16, he writes, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem, and if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. So what had happened was the church and the people in the church at Jerusalem were bankrupt because they had sold everything they had to provide for the early church. Then the church was sent out into the world, and Paul was saying to the church in Corinth, I've used you as an example to the people in Macedonia about your generous giving and how you're going to help support the Christians who are left in Jerusalem. So it not only included the men, but the men who were persecuted and gave their lives, it would help support their families as well. So Paul's boasting all through Macedonia about how God is going to use the church in Corinth to provide for Jerusalem. And the people there in Macedonia were saying, well, if Jerusalem can do it, we can do it. So let's take up an offering. So the offering was going to go from Macedonia through Corinth to Jerusalem. And Paul was going to send people from Macedonia with that offering because they didn't have credit cards back then or Federal Express or whatever, so they had to carry whatever they collected. The people from Macedonia were going to go through Corinth. And he was saying, well, if they arrive and you don't have anything and you're not prepared, then it's going to be embarrassing for you because I told them how generous you were. And so take a collection beforehand so that when we come, their hearts will be encouraged. So we assume that's what happened, that the funds were collected in Corinth and taken by Macedonians and perhaps some people from Corinth with Paul traveling to Jerusalem to relieve the need there. So we have to make sure, as God uses people, he used R.G. Letourneau in a great way, that great industrialist. He gave 90% of what he made to the work of the Lord. Started the school of engineering and just did incredible things financially for the kingdom of God. So God uses people to provide for the needs of his kingdom. So God will use us, but it's not requiring us to give 100% of everything we have. Dave Ramsey is still a good thing to go through the course and keep those things in mind as well. Receiving 100 times as much as we have given up. Someone said you can't outgive God, and that's true. You know, I think of leaving my dad, my mom and my dad, but specifically my dad. I left years ago, and God gave him back. For 7 years, I was able to enjoy that close personal relationship with my father. But through the years, many fathers. Someone you don't know, Bob Dow, a leader in my home church who discipled me when I was young. Bob Dontremont, who you do know, another father in my life. Walter Cowell from the first church I ever pastored. Chet Arthur in another church. Marv Maxson. And many, many more. But now, as I'm older, I don't have any more fathers in the church, but I have brothers. I never had any brothers physically. I had a sister. But I'm glad to be able to call you sisters and brothers in Christ. One house. You know, we've always lived in parsonages. But now, in the end, God has given us two, and I have no idea now what to do with them. Going through persecutions. What is persecution? We read in the early chapters of Acts about the persecutions in Jerusalem. People thrown in prison and murdered for their faith. Jesus was persecuted all of his life. The only reason they didn't kill him sooner was they were afraid of the people. The challenges in this life could be considered persecutions. The deaths of relatives and friends. Perhaps a financial loss. Constant condemnation. I know a lot of people face this in their lives. Constant condemnation by Satan, the accuser. Constantly telling you that you're not good enough. Or do you really think you're a Christian? Do Christians really act like that? You know, that constant self-doubt brought on by Satan's accusations. Those whispers in your ear. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul tells Timothy, yea, and all that will live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution is a part of our daily living. But then receiving eternal life, isn't that our ultimate goal? To be in the presence of our Savior and our God forever and ever. Our greatest reward as believers. So we leave everything to follow Jesus, symbolized by baptism, the death to self. I always tell the kids that going under the water is a symbol of death because we can't bury you in the earth. That would just be too dangerous. But when you go down under the water, it's a symbol of death, burial. And when you come up out of the water, a symbol of resurrection. Leaving everything to follow Jesus, dying to self. Leaving possessions and people. Paul said in Romans 6, 1 through 5, what shall we say then? Are we continue to sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. A beautiful symbol baptism is, of saying, yes, I am going to follow Jesus. Why do we get baptized? It's a command of the Lord to be baptized, to identify with Jesus Christ. Receiving 100 times as much as we've ever given up. I'm welcomed as a Christian into a new family. And so if baptism is the first two, church membership is here. Receiving a new family in Christ. I became a member, not only of the universal church, but more importantly, of this physical church. I'm a part of this church family. I have brothers and sisters in Christ. If you've not been baptized, think about being baptized. If you haven't become a member of the church, become a member of the church. Someone says, well, it's not in the Bible, but in the first chapter of Acts, it talks about the number of names in the church. There was an accounting of names in the early church. It's the same phrase used in the book of Numbers, as God told Moses to number the names of the people in Israel. So important to become a part. Going through persecution, this is the Christian life. Job suffered in the Old Testament. We suffer in the New Testament. We're not immune from the coronavirus. One of my friends on Facebook, he said, the Lord will give us none of these diseases if we're faithful to him. But I don't necessarily see that as being true when we think about the colds and the flus and the different, even the cancers that we get. Can bring us closer in that suffering to the Lord Jesus. I pray that we don't get this coronavirus, but if we do, we see it as something that does bring us closer to the Lord. In fact, I had a friend recently say that as he considered his earlier years, these people would come and say, well, it only affects old people. And he took comfort in that. He says, now I am one of those old people. So it changes your perspective as we get a bit older. But receiving eternal life. If the worst happened and we came down with coronavirus and we went to be with the Lord, so what? It's the best thing that could ever happen to us. We're not called to comfortable Christianity. We're called to a radical faith. God is not there to assure us that at the end of the day, a good time has been had by all. This is a Christian life, and in it we're to be like Jesus was. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, what was that joy? That joy was you and me. That joy was our salvation. That joy was us becoming a member of his family, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. No wonder Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. I've done what I came to do. And this is just a part of that. that he came for our salvation. Jesus knew the joy that every person would have whom his death upon the cross would redeem. What a blessing that should be for us today as we recognize our path. We'd like it if Jesus hadn't said that part about the persecution, right? The difficult things that we were going to have to go through. Thank God we don't know them in advance. But he gives us the promise of his strength through all of those persecutions. And that final persecution that will bring us into heaven, into his very presence.